Thanks everybody for joining us today. Today I have Thomas Lim Pedersen dropping their second project with Artblocks. They previously released Rapture in the Factory, and today they're releasing Screens here in the Curated Collection. Thomas, why don't we get started telling the audience a little bit about your background?
Well, my background is that I'm a data scientist by training. Way before that, I actually did food science and stuff. So I have had a weird trajectory into art, but I guess like I've been a creative all my life, but the whole merging of computer generated art and my programming from data visualization happened in 2017 or so.
And how'd you first learn about Artblocks and the NFT space in general?
I think it was late 2020 around this dude, Dmitry, began chatting about his new and upcoming project, Ringers. And at that time, I had no idea what it was about. I think I kind of passed on the whole idea of crypto art at that point, mainly because I'm very much attached to like the physical output, the prints and stuff. So for me, it didn't click for me until in spring 2021, where I began exploring it with Hig and Nunk. And then shortly after that, I began thinking about Artblocks.
Very cool. Can you tell us a little bit about your project today, Screens?
Sure. So Screens is kind of, well, it's very much where I am artistically right now. I've been increasingly interested in kind of the intersection between the precision provided by algorithms and like generative systems and this the analog imprecisions of how you would normally produce art. For instance, through screen printing, you will have alignment of layers, you will have small artifacts from how the ink get applied to the paper and so on. So Screens for me is very much an attempt to kind of capture this tension between precision and flaws and play with that.
Was there something that originally inspired you to come up with this idea, whether it be another project or maybe a person?
I think way before Screens, I did a series of one-on-ones called Constructive. And those were born from simply the wish to make something grainy, which is kind of a very undefined thing. But I think I saw Matt Deslaur had some pieces way back before crypto that used dithering to great effect, and they've always really inspired me. So I think on the onset, I wanted to do something that was more in the veins of traditional digital dithering, but I began to kind of lean more and more into the whole idea of this analog flaw that I wanted to explore more. So it really changed a lot from my initial inspirations. And when I kind of set in to look more into screen printing and stuff, I've of course also began to look more into some of the different art movements that have used that to great effect. So that has definitely inspired me a lot throughout the journey.
I'm curious, in Raptures, at the beginning, when you look at the live view, at the beginning, it has like a little animation before it's at its final stage where you see the final piece. And Screens also has a building effect where you arrive at the final piece of art. How do you think about, the static image versus the building up to it? Like, how important is that to the piece of art itself?
So for Rapture, it was very much a requirement because it simply took too long to kind of be done rendering. For Screens, it was a conscious decision. They render quite fast, actually. But the whole idea about Screens is to kind of mimic this idea of screen printing partly. So for me, it made a lot of sense to also just show the different stages. And to me, the sensation of seeing the image build up in Screens is quite fantastic when you don't know where you arrive, because every layer adds a new kind of thing, and each layer has the potential to completely switch around your perception of what's going to go on in the picture. So I would say that the build-up effect here is way more deliberate. It is not as such a part of the final artwork. I would say these are static images meant for being printed or displayed on walls, but it is definitely something I added deliberately to give a great sensation that gives you a look into like the underlying algorithm and the underlying creation.
When you were creating the project, did you do it with it being printed in mind, or is there a way you would prefer this project to be deployed?
I think this is very much something that if you have the wall space for it, it looks great in print. There is like fractal detail in the noise that is very hard to really enjoy on any screen. Like it really should be printed out large and provide you with the possibility of get really up close and see the micro details, and then kind of slowly walk backwards and taking in more and more of the macro composition. For me, that's the ideal way of experiencing this.
And just to that end, there was a great conversation between you and Dimitri. If anybody's curious to look back, you guys kind of like zoomed way in just to like really look at the details. And I thought that was, you know, pretty enlightening just as an observer to hear you or to see you guys talk about that. So I encourage other people to search for it. And just to get the question out of the way, because I know we're going to get it later on today, do you plan on offering any prints for this project?
Yes, there will be. I'm still working on the detail for how it's going to go down. So I'm not going to divulge any more information, but there will be prints. They will be unique to the first who order it, kind of like with Rapture. So the first one who orders a print for this specific token will be able to. And after that, there won't be any more prints of this one. So I'm still working on how to specifically do that, but there will be more information in my channel when I arrive on something.
Perfect. Now this project is, you know, has very stark colors. Can you tell us a little bit about your approach to selecting colors for this project?
Sure. So I think when it comes to colors, I have mainly been inspired by a lot of Bauhaus masters and also partly by more contemporary graphic design. All these subdued colors has been in vogue for quite some time in more modern graphic design. So I've sampled colors or being inspired by colors from Bauhaus, but I've also actually also been inspired by like postcards I've put on my wall. Some of the more strange names for the palettes may reflect that. There's a palette called Rhino and a palette called Penguin. You can guess what's on those images. I think for me the potential to work with very few colors gave me a possibility of really selecting some extremely strong contrasting colors that really vibrates with each other. So I've leaned into that a lot in this project.
When you were initially creating the project, do you create with a kind of like the final color in mind, or are you trying to get the form down and then worry about the colors?
That's a good question. So the constructive project that I made before this was very much a warm up to screens, and in that project I played with a lot of different palettes, and some of these palettes have been reused because I found that they work really well. So some of these palettes were already in my head when I began working on screens, and some of them were added later when I kind of wanted to expand on the different types of colors and the different types of emotions available in the project.
I'm curious, was there anything you ran into with this project that's unique and you didn't run into with your last?
So this is my first doing WebGL development. So Constructive was made in R, which is the language I usually use to create art in when it's not for art blocks. And each piece took like 30 minutes to 60 minutes to render. So that was obviously not going to work for this. So there was a lot of learning in terms of porting over the whole texture code to WebGL. And that is definitely a first for me. And it can be quite intoxicating to see things just appear magically instantly. So that was quite fun.
Were there any bugs you ran into while creating this project that you decided to leave in?
I wouldn't say there were bugs. There were happy little accidents along the way. There was one particular feature that I didn't plan for that actually ended up creating like one of my most cherished test mints, or what you call it. But unfortunately, that also introduced the potential for like completely blank pages and so on. So I had to leave that out. Otherwise, I would have loved to have that in there.
Well, if you want to chat or show off some of your mints, we'll be hanging out in the curated artist channel. That's going to be Thomas Lynn Pedersen. Other than that, is there anything else you would like to add before we sign off today, Thomas?
Not at all. I'm super excited to see what comes out, and I'm so happy for all the excitement that I've felt throughout the development. So thank you all.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, and I can't wait to see what comes out of the Minter. Thanks, everybody.